Welcome to the Wise Women Diaries podcast. This is where shame and victimhood die. I am a woman that questions everything, so this podcast is a reflection of that. Here we speak on non-mainstream perspectives, like healing our childhood wounds, learning to trust ourselves, the voice of fear versus intuition, and how children are our teachers. We discuss what it looks like to own your power as a woman and step out of the medical paradigm. That's why I am obsessed with interviewing women who trust their bodies and babies in home birth and free birth, and their wild journey from maiden to mother. Ultimately, this podcast is for women who want to thrive and have inner peace, learning how to take radical responsibility for their life and shed victimhood for good.
Hi, I'm Carly Ray. I specialize in female physiology. The women's body is my whole world. I have been a manual therapist for 18 years now, half my fucking life, a really long time. And what I do is I do hands-on, hands-in work, pelvic work with women, vulval work, vaginal work, cervical work, uterine work, anal work. I work with the whole female body, and I support women in knowing and understanding the truth about female physiology and how to actually be in relationship with their bodies rather than this superficial, agendaed relationship that we've been conditioned to be in our world. I support women in knowing what an actual relationship is with their bodies. I live in northern BC, Canada, up near Alaska on 80 acres of land with my partner, and we are building a women's healing center on our property. We have 6 horses and 3 dogs and 3 cats, and we have a river with salmon that runs through our property, and he's literally right now renovating our little cabin so that women can start to come to our land and receive the hands-on work that I do for me and be fed carnivore food. I'm not a vegan in any fucking way. Don't support it. Be fed and nourished deeply well, and then spend time out on these very wild, wild lands surrounded by mountains, and spend time with our horses and receive a type of co-regulation that does not exist in the human world. Yeah, so that's a little touch of what I do and offer in this world. I offer work online as well with women and teach women their true vulva-vaginal anatomy and take them through a mapping practice, and teach women what it means to actually touch their tissue. How can you touch your vulva, every single different aspect of your vulva? Can you hold your outer labia and just listen to her? Spend time and just listen to her, not get disassociated, not get bored, you know, and really track every single little subtle nuance that is happening when your fingers are just holding your labia and you're listening to what this tissue has to tell you. And then you move on to just the glands of your clitoris, and you listen to the glands of your clitoris, and you notice how does the hood glide over the shaft of your clitoris. And then maybe you hold where you tore with one of your vaginal births, and you hold that scar and you listen to that, what that scar has to say. Every single scar in the body has a story to tell, and the majority of us have not slowed down enough to actually listen to our scars and the stories that they have to tell us. So that is the work that I do online. It's super interesting to me how my journey through drug addiction and sex addiction has led me to offering this work. And it has all, my drug addiction and my sex addiction has served a deep purpose in being able to meet women in this way. I wouldn't be able to do the work that I do and serve women so deeply if I hadn't gone through those journeys. My journey with sex addiction, it started, I was 20, I'd just turned 22. And I was just starting to come out of my drug addiction. I started using hard drugs when I was 16 years old. Started smoking meth, using cocaine, using crack when I was 16. And when I was 21, almost 22, I stopped using hard drugs cold turkey because I knew that if I kept going down that path, that it was going to lead to me dying. And I was like, I can't keep making these choices. And I didn't want to die at that point in my life. I've gone through struggles with not wanting to be here in this world and, you know, being suicidal. But at that point, I was like, no, I want to keep living and I need to stop using drugs. Otherwise, it's going to lead me to a different road. And my journey through sex addiction started with an affair with a married man. And I met him, well, I knew him previously. He was from the same small town that I grew up in. And I knew of him. He was friends with my older brother and all that stuff. And on my 22nd birthday, I was back home partying. I was still drinking at 22, drinking alcohol. And it just was this instantaneous connection with him that he was the drug that I had always been looking for. Cocaine, crystal meth, ecstasy didn't hold a candle to what he did to my body and what he offered me. As I'll deepen into the story, but I just want to say that it wasn't all bad. And I learned so fucking much. Him and I spent 3 years of an affair he was married. The first 3 years was an affair. And then we spent 6 years together. And then we had 3 years of back and forth, tumultuous pain and bullshit. But it was, looking back at it now, being out of it and on the other side of my sex addiction, it gave me a fucking PhD in learning my body, learning what I want, what I don't want in relationship. It was one of the greatest teachers I've ever had in my life, was my addiction to him. So back to the beginning, I guess. I was 22 when we met. And he was like the golden boy in my eyes. He was the knight in shining armor who was gonna, you know, swoop in and save me from all the pain that I felt in my body. And he did serve a purpose. There was a part of me that always thought, I'll never be able to get sober from drugs if I don't have something outside of myself to have worth for, because I had zero self-worth in my 20s, even in the start of my early 30s, zero self-worth. I was like, if I want to be with this man, I'm going to have to get clean. He didn't use drugs. He drank. We drank a lot together, but he never touched drugs. And I was like, I have to stay clean from drugs. And he served that purpose for me. He was like, I always equated him to like this big oak tree that was giving me this safe place for me to come through my drug addiction. But, you know, there's always one thing that I've really, really appreciated about my journey and being so committed to self-worth is this place that I'm at right now is my ability to hold complexity and nuance. And look at my sex addiction and see the fucking pain and the torture and the suffering that came from it. And then on the other hand, see the absolute beauty that came from it as well. Because there is, as far as I'm concerned, there's no experience in life that doesn't come without both, you know? So, yeah, our relationship started off as an affair. He had been with his current wife since he was like 16, 17 years old, like, and I think he's 12 years older than me. So I was 22 and he was 34 at the time. I just saw him, yeah, as this knight in shining armor. And he was just like, him being married meant absolutely nothing to me. I didn't give a flying fuck about, you know, about his relationship, about his wife at the time. It all meant nothing. Because all I cared about back in those days was what was best for Carly. what served Carly. There was zero thought in my mind of how is this going to affect other people. And I've had to really sit with that and sit with how my actions and my choices and my words affect others. And that's been a big journey for me in growing the fuck up and taking responsibility for my life and realizing how, you know, my actions do affect others. Yeah, so he was married and they had a child together, and it was our first 3 years together was secrecy all the time. You know, driving to secret spots to meet up. And it was fucking, it was insane, absolutely insane. And I actually, when I was 24 years old, so we had been, you know, doing this affair for 2 years at the time. When I was 24 years old, I was just like, I can't do this anymore. I'm like, I need to get as far away from this man as I possibly can. And I ended up moving to Kenya. From small town, middle of nowhere, Saskatchewan, I found this opportunity to go to Kenya and do small-scale organic farming. And there was this man in Ontario who started this. He started going to Kenya into small villages and teaching the grandmothers how to do this these organic farming practices. And I just called him up and I was like, I'm absolutely like amazed with what you're doing and I would love to come volunteer for you. And that was in June when I was 24 years old. And in January, I was gone and I was supposed to be in Kenya for a whole year. Didn't end up lasting a whole year. I was only there for 6 months. But Kenya changed my whole life in a way that I had no idea was possible. It broke me down in every single way. I got robbed. I lost all my money when I was there. I got typhoid fever twice. I got malaria 5 times. It literally broke my body down in every single way possible. But it also broke my heart open in ways that I don't think life could have if I had stayed in Canada. So I went to Kenya and I spent my first month with this guy doing these organic farming practices. And then he decided to send me to Eastern Kenya to this orphanage that had 112 children and 80 of them were 5 years old and younger. And I was living in this orphanage and I wanted, at that point, I had been a body worker, a manual therapist for 6 years. And that's all I did. I graduated high school at 18 and I moved to Vancouver, did my manual therapy bodywork training, and then just did bodywork, you know, 6-7 days a week, 10 people a day, non fucking stop. And I was like, I need a break from being a body worker and I need a break from this fucking affair that I was in because it was breaking my heart in so many ways and just furthering my unworthiness. I was like, well, obviously I don't deserve healthy relationship. I don't deserve, you know, being taken out on dates and...
Oh, because that's my question is, from what I've understood, because I love psychology, I love therapy, I love this marriage therapist, Dr. Sue Johnson, and I think she's the one that has said the affair partner usually gets the biggest boost of external self-esteem because this man is choosing you over his wife. So initially it's the best drug on earth because you're being chosen. But are you saying that yeah. Then eventually it turned to, wow, I'm not even good enough to be taken out on a date in public?
Exactly. Yeah. It, you know, the high lasted for maybe the first 6 months to a year because it was exciting and we were sneaking around and I didn't give a fuck at that point. And I had just gotten clean from drugs. Like I was, you know, 6 months clean from drugs when our affair started. My body was also just chemically going through so much changes as well with that. But yeah, at the beginning it was super exciting because I was being chosen, but then it got very fucking old very fast and the secrecy was eating me from the inside out. I still didn't give a fuck about his wife, but it was just like, I want to be fucking taken out. I want to be shown off. I want to have like a normal relationship and, you know, not have to hide my phone when I'm around friends and family so that they didn't know that he was texting me. And it was exhausting. It's absolutely exhausting having to live a lie all the fucking time, right? I got sick of it, and I was like, I got to get out of here. And I went to Kenya, and they sent me to this orphanage, and I started doing manual therapy, massage therapy with babies all day, every day. That's all I did. The first 6 months that I was there, we had three young boys with severe cerebral palsy, where if they were in like Canada or the US, they would have been in special homes for care, but they didn't have that option. So I spent all day, every day doing massage therapy with these disabled boys. And living in that orphanage and spending all day with these babies and tending to them and taking care of them, just the amount it changed who I am as a person it's really just unfathomable to me, because I was such a different person when I went to Kenya. And when I left Kenya, I actually knew what it felt like to feel love for another person for the first time in my life. It broke my heart open in so many ways that I never knew possible. It also, one day near the end of my trip, we were taking some of the sick babies to the clinic because everybody got malaria all the fucking time. So we went to the clinic quite regularly to get tested for malaria and malaria medication. And you can imagine having 112 children, there's sick babies all time. And we pulled up to the clinic, and there was this young girl lying on the ground outside, and she looked like she was dying. And I asked the doctor, because I had a pretty good relationship with him at this point, I said, what's going on? What's wrong with this girl? And she tried to give herself an abortion with a broomstick, and that fucking floored me. I just could not believe that. One, I had no idea that abortion was illegal in pretty much, I'm as far as I can know now, all of Africa, abortion is illegal. And I could not imagine being put in that place where I was so terrified to have a baby that I had to give myself an abortion. When I was 19, I had an abortion. And that my first abortion really touched me. My doctor, I had went to this old white man, and he was so kind and caring and compassionate to me, which is not the norm for a lot of women. A lot of women do not have a good abortion experience. And I did. I had a really good abortion experience my first time. So then to witness this young girl who she most likely died. I don't know. I don't know what happened to her. But she had internal bleeding, and it set a fire inside me that I just didn't even know was there. As soon as we got home with the babies, I went on my computer and I started researching midwifery schools, you know, all these different kind of trainings. I was like, how can I be a part of this so that no girl ever has to make this decision ever again? The kind of person that I am, though, university is not my cup of tea. I could never go to university. So going to school to be a midwife was not going to happen. But I came home about a couple months later after that. I'd been in Kenya for 6 months in total and just dove back into the same old bullshit. Same relationship, same dynamic. He did eventually, about, I don't know, 6 months after I got home from Africa, he got a divorce, and he was immediately, he wanted to get into a relationship, and I was like, absolutely fucking not. I'm not doing this again. I'm going to school. I'm doing all this stuff. But I didn't have the strength, and I didn't have the self-worth in me to say no, because he was an absolute drug. He was my kryptonite for years and years and years. And it took me such a long time to really understand that and see that. I was at a point, there was a point where I was like, I don't fucking care if this is killing me. It feels so good in the moment. It's so painful outside of the moment. It was like being addicted. It was just like being addicted to drugs. As soon as that drug hits your fucking body, it's peace and pleasure and you don't give a fuck. And then, you know, a couple hours later, it's just pain and torture and suffering. And it's a cycle. And you get so addicted to that cycle that I don't think I ever actually worked through my drug addiction, because I just jumped from drug addiction into this addiction with this man, right? And I had to really get fucking, I had to hit my rock bottom. And it took years for me to hit my rock bottom with him. Absolutely years to hit my rock bottom. And then I had to force myself to move again to 8 hours away. So I had to put, you know, some distance between him and I so that I couldn't just, it was just so easy to get a hit and get what I wanted, get that endorphin hit whenever I needed it and wanted it out of him. And I had to move again and I moved to a different province, to Alberta, to give space. And it still wasn't enough. It's incredible. People do not realize how addicting anything can be, whether it's shopping, whether it's drugs, whether it's food or humans. It can just totally take you over and really control your thoughts, everything, your actions, absolutely everything. And it wasn't until I started working with my one mentor and really starting to get honest about the choices that I was making and how much it was affecting everything. Because I always told myself, I don't need a relationship. I don't need a man. I can just get what I need from him, which was not a relationship. It was just purely physical, purely sex at this point. And I'll just be happy. I'll just focus on my work. And I sacrificed, you know, a lot of years for that addiction. Do I regret it? No, because it's got me to the place where I am right now, which is I'm living.
You're living the dream. Okay, so if it was purely physical, would you say there was no true intimacy and no true vulnerability?
None. It was the majority of our connection was so superficial. And it, to me, when I look back at it, it feels like very fabricated. Dealing with him, he would always tell me what I wanted to hear. He's like, oh, we're best friends. We know everything about one another. But was that the truth? No, we knew nothing about one another. We did nothing together, you know? Like, we were together in an actual relationship for 6 years, and the longest I ever spent with him was 7 days in a row. Maximum, we would spend 8 days together in a month. We had no life together. Everything was separate. Absolutely everything was separate. But I told myself, well, this is all okay. This is what I deserve. That felt like enough. And yeah, my low self-worth really just dictated and ran so much of my choices through my addiction to him.
I'm curious if you want to touch on any threads from your childhood that inform those addictions, if you want to go there or...
It's interesting. Right now, I've for the last year, I've been in this deep process of going back into my childhood. I don't remember a whole lot of my childhood. I have a lot of amnesia, and layers of amnesia have started to lift in this last year, and memories are starting to come back. But one of the biggest pieces, at least for right now, that I can remember is my dad was never around. He's a workaholic. My mom was a drug addict until I was 16 years old. her and I had a very tumultuous relationship. And then my dad was never home. He's a workaholic. So I was raised by two addicts, and I had to grow up really fast as a child. And I pretty much raised my mother because my dad was never home. That just, you know, created the perfect storm essentially for absolutely zero self-worth. And it's something like I put all of my self-worth into creating who I am in the work that I do right now. In being one of the most trained, one of the most experienced manual therapists in women's health in North America. And am I deeply proud of that? Absolutely. Would I change it? Fuck no. And it came with its consequences. You know, it came with a lot of really poor choices that put a lot of stress on my body. In the last few years of my sex addiction, it wasn't just the sex addiction that created this. It was also other life circumstances, but I went into premature ovarian failure. And it's taken me years now to come out of that and to get my body ovulating regularly again and menstruating healthily again. But the sex addiction was 100%. It was a big piece of the amount of stress that my body was under and everything just shutting down.
I want to know when the tide turned for you. Was there this big moment, or were they tiny, tiny little moments that changed the tide?
It was more little moments because it took me so long to get over him, because I just kept going back. And it was little moments, and really this mentorship with one of my mentors of undoing the conditioning that my body had been under my whole life, that, you know, being a woman was wrong and bad and dirty and gross. Even with all the fucking work that I was learning and doing for other women, I still held these core beliefs that to be a woman in this world was wrong. That there was nothing good and healthy and worthy and worthwhile about being a woman in this world. That I would get so much farther if I shut down everything that my feminine body wanted and desired and pushed myself to be like a man. And that's what I did. I was also a workaholic. That's why I work so much. That's why I have so much experience. It's because I pushed myself to act and be like a man in this world. I pushed myself to have sex like a man and to get sex, you know, to just want to fuck and get this superficial, I call it fast food sex, which is more of a, and I deeply love men now. I've gone through a lot of work around my views of men and how I relate to men, and I deeply love and respect men now. But we like male-centered sex and female-centered sex are two very different kinds of sex. And this soft, slow, nourishing, like a gourmet meal that took 24 hours to cook is a radically different kind of touch and sex than quick fucks and fast food takeout, right?
Do you want to go on that a little more? Because it's a topic I love so much. Because my husband and I have been together for 17 years, I think, and maybe 15 of those years, we were doing fast food sex and didn't know it because we didn't know.
Yeah, exactly. And that's because we've all been taught and conditioned by this sick society that we live in, by movies. We watch sex on movies and we think, well, that's how it should be done. And then we watch porn and we're all conditioned to be fucking like porn stars. And that is not what sex is about. Sex isn't about theatrics and tricks and moves and screaming at the top of our lungs, you know? Real nourishing sex that is actually filling and feeding every single cell in your body is about this slow, intimate connection where you just get to be a human and you get to be witnessed in your erotic innocence with another human. And that doesn't happen when we're trying to act like porn stars, when we're trying to act like what we saw on a screen. And a lot of people, unfortunately, are just acting out a lot of trauma in their sex. They're just trauma bonded, you know, or in a sex addiction. And instead of being vulnerable and slowing down and having eye contact and really feeling one another. They're just grinding and having friction-based sex. To actually have sex that is like nourishing your body, it requires honesty, it requires vulnerability, and it requires being able to ask for what you want. And a lot of women don't even know what the fuck they want. They don't know how they want to be touched because they don't even know how to touch themselves. Because they've been told it's dirty, it's gross, it's wrong. Your body is not for you. Your body is for other people and their pleasure. So it's pointless in even, you know, touching yourself. Or then in the feminist fucking revolution, we've been introduced to vibrators. And a vibrator, as far as I'm concerned, is just another way to keep us superficial with our bodies. A vibrator isn't about actually touching your own pussy and being intimate with your body and feeling your fluids and feeling your tissue. It's another way to bypass intimacy and to experience this quick, fast food pleasure, this dopamine hit of pleasure.
I was recently looking at one of your reels. I just love everything you share on Instagram. And one of the ones that caught my eye was, I can't remember like the whole caption, but it was the women you work with, you see so much alchemy from pain to pleasure, where women have only known pain with sex. I know that's what your work is, but what state are these women in when they've only known pain with sex?
I mean, the majority of women are stuck in a freeze fawn response in their bodies. And I think a lot of women, they're either feeling pain with sex or they're feeling absolutely nothing with sex because there's just so much contraction in their systems, in their nervous systems, in their bodies that they're just frozen in a state. Really, there is so much alchemy in my work of going from pain, from numbness into pleasure. And that is because I'm supporting women in feeling sensation and not demonizing any sensation in the body, because pleasure does not exist without pain. Pain is one side of the coin, pleasure is the other side of the coin. And the more women are willing to go into their pain and feel their pain on an emotional level, on a physical level, on a spiritual level, the more they will experience on the pleasure side as well. And this is one thing, especially in the pussy work world, that, you know, it's all about pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. And no, it's not. It's all about sensation. And can you feel what it feels to be a human in your body fully? Feel the full spectrum of emotion and sensation and not demonize any of it. To me, that was a huge part of my journey. And because I was deeply, when it comes down to it, what I was addicted to was my own suffering. I was addicted to torturing myself with drugs and with sex. I had to learn how to be able to receive pleasure. I had to learn that I was good enough to have a good life. And that took me years to learn that I get to enjoy my fucking life, that I can feel the pain that I hold in my body, and I can cultivate more pleasure and fucking enjoy it, not feel burdened by it or like I shouldn't be experiencing that, right? It was huge. We are so many of us, especially in this day and age of the victim Olympics, we are so addicted to our suffering. And it's really, you know, when I look back at it, it's just like so gross. It's so gross that we've been conditioned to believe that that's a good thing, that the harder your life is and the more you take it dry up the ass, that the better person you are. That's the mentality that I had for years. And it just, you know, it taught me a lot. It taught me a lot about how bullshit this world is that we're living in, that the conditioning that we've all been put under, especially as women, that the more you can take, the harder it is, a better person because of it. You're such a good girl. That good girl is a bunch of bullshit.
It all stems from low self-worth because most women cannot receive. We cannot receive good things. We cannot receive pleasure. We cannot receive because we don't believe we deserve it. And that's the core root wound of almost everyone.
Yeah, 100%. And this is even ties into slow and nourishing sex. The amount of us that think that we deserve and can actually go slow enough and create the space for slow, nourishing sex it's minimal, because women fill their days with a bunch of fucking bullshit and then make the excuse, oh, I don't have time for that, so I'll just whip out my vibrator and have a quick 5-minute orgasm. And it's, you are fucking cock blocking yourself. The self-sabotage is just unbelievable these days. We don't need to be going out and, you know, doing a million things all the time. Our physiology is designed to live a slow, nourishing, mundane life. That is where female physiology thrives, is in the mundane, is in the slow, repetitive, chop wood, carry water kind of lifestyle.
I mean, I know why women are cock blocking themselves from having gourmet sex, because they don't have the bandwidth of receiving that level of pleasure. And then they can't center themselves. All they want is for their man or their partner to center them, but a woman can't even center herself.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a part where I differ in my teachings for sure, is a woman's pleasure and orgasm is no one else's responsibility but her own. So if you cannot center yourself, it's not your man's responsibility to center you. It's not your man's responsibility to bring you to orgasm. It's not your man's responsibility to know how to touch you. It's your responsibility to teach your man about your body, the kind of touch that nourishes and feeds you and turns you on and brings you to orgasm. That's your responsibility. And women need to fucking, we have a lot of growing up to do, because we have been so conditioned to stay in our maiden state that we just want everything done for us, because we're just weak little maidens that can't make any decisions, that don't know anything, that the man just decides everything for us. And it's a bunch of bullshit. Women need to grow up, and we need to be initiated into motherhood, right? And motherhood isn't just about being a mother. It's about being a mature woman and taking responsibility for all our creations. Everything that we bring into this world is a creation that comes through our body, that we birth onto this land. And the more we take responsibility for our bodies and for the life that we live, the more our lives will change, rather than blaming everything on men and the patriarchy and the world. It's our lives. If our lives are shitty and we're having shit sex, that's our own fucking problem. And that was like one of the biggest pieces when it came to moving through my addictions, was realizing that I had to grow up and take responsibility for the life that I was choosing. I was choosing to stay in my suffering every single time that I went back to my ex, every single time. And it got to the point where my body, every time we'd have sex, I'd get a yeast infection. And then I'd want to fucking jump off a bridge, because my pussy was so on fire for weeks. And it was like, okay, you have to make a choice now, Carly. Is that hit, that drug hit, worth it? Worth suffering and fucking up your body this bad? And it wasn't. And it never is. And responsibility is a hard thing for a lot of people in this world. It's easy to stay a child, you know, and want the government to take care of everything for us.
So you learned how to own your choices and the consequences of your choices on your body. That body relationship probably started there.
Yeah, big time. Because it was, even through like my massage training and everything, and all the work and training that I was taking, it was always all about taking care of other people, and that I was going and fixing other people's bodies. And what a bunch of bullshit. I don't fix anybody. I don't heal anyone. And I had to have a real fucking come to Jesus moment with that too, that I'm not some amazing healer. Do I have skills in education? Yeah, sure. But it's other people's bodies that are healing themselves. And then I turned that back around on myself and really started to really deepen into an actual true relationship with my body, rather than just like bulldozing through my body and my own sensations and my own experiences that my body was going through.
Is there anything else on your story that you wanted to share? I feel like we started conversing, so I don't know if you wanted more there.
I had one. I wrote a post when I was going through my sex addiction at probably one of the lowest points. This was like the turning point for me. And I wanted to read it and share it with you. I think this was pre-us meeting. So it says, lessons on addiction. I've been on the floor the last 48 hours. I made a video on Instagram talking about being a human and to not pedestalize me. In the video, I said, I make mistakes all the time. I still fuck my ex. After posting that video, a woman messaged me saying she was his girlfriend and they've been together for over a year. I was floored. I had no fucking idea that they were together. I always asked him if he was with someone, and I either got no or nothing serious. It's just casual. My addict was like, perfect. Let's fuck. My body knew otherwise, and I always bypassed her, my knowing for that quick hit and good dick. My addiction to my ex is the strongest drug I've ever taken. It fucks me up in all the right, wrong, good, bad, amazing, and insane ways. Getting clean from crystal meth, cocaine, and alcohol was a cakewalk compared to him. One of the reasons I got clean was because I wanted to feel life. I've always had a love-hate relationship with being alive. And I'm an intense as fuck, all or nothing woman. So I told myself, if I'm going to be here, I'm going to feel all of it. All of the unbelievable heartbreak, all the pure joy and bliss. I made the contract with life to feel every single thing through, all the way through my body, no matter how intense it got. Like the first day my niece was born, she blasted my heart open. It was love at first sight. Or when my mom got cancer and died, I allowed my heart to continually break open deeper and deeper every single day. The only reason I was able to feel all of this was because of my sobriety from drugs and alcohol. Yet I still choose to numb out for good dick. It breaks my heart. Every time I open my pussy for him, I abandon my heart and body and soul. The grief in that is unreal. Today is day one of choosing my heart and my body and waking up to a bigger and deeper level of sobriety than I have ever before. The path of self-responsibility is a motherfucker, but I can't do it any other way. That piece of grief and realizing how I chose to abandon my body every single time I went back to him. That was some painful shit to go through. Unbelievably painful shit to go through. But my choice to go into that grief and feel that pain is what has brought me to the life that I'm living right now. 100%. I wouldn't be able to have this life and be creating this space for women to come and heal and be able to go deep with women if I wasn't fucking willing to go in and be real honest about my own choices and go into how much I hurt myself, how much I was abandoning my own body and really damaging my own body by my choices.
You unlocked a piece for me. This is so interesting. I don't know if I'll cut this out or not, but I have this grief piece coming up and you just made me make a huge connection, Carly. This is crazy. Oh, it's something I've never like looked at in the eyes of grief. Cause I've had years of abandoning my body in different ways, and yeah, I've felt this grief coming up, but I haven't been able to connect it in the way that you just did. Self-abandonment.
Yeah, and I think our willingness to grieve all of our shitty choices is critical to our own liberation. If we're not willing to grieve, we will never be free.
Wow. Thank you. There's just something about your energy that is just like so good.
I think it's my willingness to be human and just be really real with people. Like, You know, I'm not afraid to talk about being a drug addict. I'm not afraid to talk about my abortions. I'm not afraid to talk about having STIs when I was younger. I'm not afraid to talk about being in a relationship with a married man, you know, and going through all of it. And my vulnerability is something that I've always been deeply, like, in devotion to. It is a guiding North Star for me, is being a vulnerable human and being real and fucking authentic, because we live in such a fake world these days, and I want to be the antidote to that poison.
Oh my gosh. Is there anything else that you feel that's on your heart to speak to women about, or do you want to talk about any of your offerings or anything?
The thing that's coming up for me right now is just how important it is for us to really look at our own shit and our own shitty choices and stop blaming everything and everyone outside of ourselves. You know, it's just really critical. I can't tell you how many women I've worked with that have a prolapse and they're like, but my husband didn't tell me. And it's like, sweetheart, It's not your husband's pussy. It's yours. It's not his responsibility to tell you if something feels off inside your vagina. You should have that connection in that relationship. If you're not happy in the sex that you're having, whether you're in a relationship or not, like solo, you can be having the best sex of your life with your own fingers, and you should be. And it all comes down to taking responsibility for our lives and realizing that we are worthy. We, no matter what we've been through, no matter what choices we've made, you know, people could listen to this podcast and come back and say, you're a fucking homewrecker. You don't deserve a good life. And that's a bunch of bullshit. I made some bad choices. I've rectified. I've taken responsibility for my bad choices. And onward and forward we go, right? And we don't repeat our shitty choices. That's part of being a mature, healthy human on this planet, which is what our planet needs more: mature adults who are emotionally intelligent and connected to their bodies. What's the point of doing this life if you can't actually feel your body? You only get one body.